nervous, you know, like for several days. And I pray, and it just gives me a good reason to pray and pray, you know, Lord help me. And I couldn't be nervous. I'm going, well, that's sort of weird. Well, Dana, maybe you better go over that sermon again. I said, no, I think the Lord's got it, you know. And it was about a month ago, and I was gonna preach, but Pastor Paul got healed. the nerve. Anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, this is so important. And what if you were standing here, right here, if you were standing beside me, because he's done that before. I've seen him. He's done it for me. But if you were standing right here, if I'm going to be your mouth, what would you say? And boom, just like that, right then, he gave me the first thing he would say. And, you know, I brought my special Bible today. This is my 10-pound Bible. Oh, man. And this is a Thompson chain. Do you know what a Thompson chain Bible is? Well, if you're on John 3:16, well, it has all these categories that are in the back of the Bible. Fully one-third of the Bible is the stuff in the back. And you can just check every scripture. You got them right there. So I was going to, you know, look up what the Lord gave me. And this little tiny voice said, use the Thompson chain. Well, I am computer dependent. And, you know, it's so fast. Boom, boom, boom on that computer. I've got it. I can pick and choose what version and blah, all this stuff. And that little tiny voice said, use the Thompson chain. And I turned on my computer, you know, and I said, okay, Lord. And I opened up my Thompson chain. There are over 2,000 pages in this Bible. And I opened it up to the scripture that I needed. I wasn't looking for it. I just, and there it was. Does the Lord give you confirmation? Yes, the Lord gives you confirmation. So here's where the word, that's what we're going to talk. I'm not even going to really do a bunch of preaching. I'm just going to tell you the word. I'm going to tell you what the word says and what Jesus said and told me. And when he told me, oh man, Donna Carr saying, yeah, she's going to cry. Yeah, yeah. But it was burning in my heart. The word was burning in my heart. Literally, you know, you can't hardly even pray. You just go and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I love you. Help me love you more. And so I'm just going to tell you what he said. I'm going to tell you the words of the Word made flesh. Who is the Word made flesh? It's Jesus. Here's that 10-pound Bible. If you want to know Jesus, first, there's this. This is him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The scripture that I turned to was Luke 23, 34, 35. And the first thing that Jesus said, just exactly, I'm just telling you exactly the words, was forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is out of the message. I just thought it I just love the way it read. It said, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, who's your them? Who's your they? We've all got them. We've had them all our lives from first grade on up. Who's your them and who's your they? And this is, the scripture goes, dividing up his clothes. Now, he is hanging on the cross, naked, beaten, bleeding, and broken. Dividing up his clothes, they threw dice for them, talking about the soldiers, down at the bottom of his feet, throwing dice for his clothes. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The people stood there staring at Jesus naked, and the ringleaders made faces, taunting, "He saved others. Let's see him save himself." And he said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They wouldn't do this if they knew what they were doing." I've been hurt. I know everybody's been hurt. I know it's hard to forgive because it crops back up on you. You know, you say, "Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive." And you say, "Yeah, hallelujah, I got this." And 2 years down the road, boom. Forgive them. They don't know what they did. They don't know what they're doing, or they wouldn't do it. He saved others. Let's see him save himself. The Messiah of God. Ha! The chosen. Ha! Here he is hanging, bloody, broken, on the cross. Some Messiah he is. Thank you, Lord. And we're to be him in this world. If he can forgive that, I mean, he forgave us. This is just one instance. This is just him in the physical realm forgiving somebody that goes for something that's physically happening to him. It's not the weight and crushing sin that he took for us and forgave us for. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He came, he's off that cross, and he's in my heart. The old sinner is dead, and Jesus lives his life through me, through you, through every person in this room. How are we living for him? How are we doing? I got a ways to go. We all do. But he loves us so much that he still can say, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for trying. I'm so proud of you for forgiving. I know it was hard, and I'm proud of you for it." That's what he does. Because he's done it for me. If he did it for me, I know he'd do it for you. "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the first thing you got to do when you get saved. You got to realize what he saved you from. There's hell. I'm sorry. The church doesn't like to talk about it anymore. He saved me from hell. If he did nothing else in my life, and he's done so many things for me, if he did nothing except save me from hell, then it was worth it all. Everything was worth it all. Just for that. Now I'm gonna blow my mouth. I gotta move my 10-pound Bible. I'm gonna read you one more. This one was long because of what he told me, but forgiving is such a hard, heavy thing. And we need to be encouraged, and we need to be strengthened, and we need to remember what we're doing. Matthew 5:44-48, this is the message as well. It says, "You're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy." That was the Jewish way. That was the Old Testament law. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Don't just forgive them. Now we got to go one more step and love them too, for goodness sake. But you can't love somebody if you don't forgive them. I've thought about it, and in my own life, I didn't study anybody else's, just mine. And we can pray for that love. We need to make that prayer for that love something we do every day. And not just, "Lord, I'm challenging you. I'm telling all of you, start praying for you to love Jesus more." Every day when you pray, and please, dear Lord, tell me you're praying every day. We're supposed to pray always. but pray to love the Lord more. Lord Jesus, help me to love you more. Put the love in my heart. Help me to love my church family more. Every one of you. Help me to love you more. Help me to love my family more. Those people at work, oh dear Lord, help me to love them at all. Oh my goodness. I've had some. I had one guy, Mr. Fosnot. I just lived down the road, and I'd come down here every morning before work and pray to get through the day because of Mr. Fosnot. Help me to love Mr. Fosnot. It was not an easy thing to do. But the Lord works miracles. That's all I got to say. Anyway, it says, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. What? Not the worst. And that's what always happens. Most of the time, I've looked back at things I've said in anger, and it was the worst of me. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. Man, I love that. Sometimes the messages are just so right on, but if you think about the wording of it, the supple moves of prayer, Mr. Fosnot, the principal calls me in. Mr. Fosnot has written me up because he said I was stealing his students. Stupid stuff. So in the supple moves of prayer, I'm going, while she's telling me all this, and I'm going, just bless Mr. Fosnot, Lord. Let his students love him more than mine love me. That man, that's the supple moves of prayer. They don't know you're doing it. He certainly didn't know. But the Lord loves it. The Lord is proud of it. And the Lord says, that's my boy. That's my girl right there. For then you are working out of your true selves and your God-created self. I like that. What did God create in me and how did he do it? Because the old me's dead. I look back at that little girl and go, oh man, thank you for your great mercy, Lord. Because there's almost nothing of her left. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. You're children of the King. Hallelujah. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Ooh, and if you're saved, if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you have a God-created identity. Hallelujah. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. Hallelujah. Okay, that was the first thing he said. Now, I know that one was long, but it was important. Number two, the second one, and I didn't get these all at once. I'd be sitting there on the couch, and there was out of the clear blue sky, and I'd get up and I'd run and go write it down and get out the 10-pound Bible. The second one is, I'm coming back. Oh, hallelujah, I get chill bumps every time. I'm just writing it down, I'm getting chill bumps. Thank you, Lord. He's coming back. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 27. This is New King James. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's like climbing up on that cross where he is now, where he was. With him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That old me is gone. Thank you, Lord. Buried and gone. I don't mind losing it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. This is like Claudia was talking about just a little bit ago. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. He's going to come back with his angels. That's what it says. And then he will reward each according to his works. I make that up. That's New King James right there. What are our works? What are we doing? Here we're going to add to the prayer list. First, you're going to pray to love the Lord more. You're going to pray to walk in forgiveness. You pray for the job that he has for you within the kingdom to build it. Every single one of us, every single person, we're not just walking around throwing foo-foo dust and saying, you know, thank you, Jesus. We have a job. And it maybe starts out really small. I don't know what the Lord's going to tell you to do, but you need to hear. You need to be praying enough so when you hear, you can hear his voice. He might say, hey, I need you to go over there and hug that person because they're down today and they need a sister or a brotherly hug. Go do that. Now, there was a good lot of time when I could not do that. It was beyond me. Or when the Lord said, okay, set an example and raise your hand to the Lord, to me. Praise me. It took some bravery and courage to do it. But as you go and as you are obedient and you do what he tells you, your jobs change. And he starts opening doors and educating you and teaching you and moving you and putting you in places where you need to be to perform his will in your life. It says, I'm coming back. The third one is, and the whole thing was, if the Lord came back, and I've heard this before in sermons, you know, if the Lord comes back, how would you feel, or what's going to happen to you? If the Lord comes back, I want him to write my new name on my forehead. I want him to write, did you know he's going to have a new name too? I want him to write it on my hand. I want him to say, well done. You tried. You did your best. And what if we did our best just for one day? One day. Anyway, amen. Okay. The third one is do not fear. Do not fear anymore. Don't do it. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, O church, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I love that song. You are mine. You are mine. It's like the 23rd Psalm. It says, how does it go? Fear not, for I have the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes my down creep pastures, he leads me beside the waters, he restores my soul. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. Thou art with me. And here's another thing. When I'm gonna challenge you, when you're praying, we're gonna add, say it out loud and say it to the Lord and say, thou art with me. That's all. Thou art with me. Thank you, Lord. Thou art with me. Thou art with me when I go to work today. Thou art with me when I get in the car today. Thou art with me when I'm trying to witness somebody or whatever. Thou art with me in every single step. Thou art with me. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. You don't have to be afraid anymore. What was the country where they were killing Christians? Where? In Africa. Recently, Nigeria. It's horrible. It's like Kill a Christian Day. It's really, really terrible. And I've been praying, and I said, Lord, why are you letting this happen? We have to remember, this world is not our home. This world is not in any way our home. It's like there's a palace on the hillside, and the whole thing belongs to you. And right at the moment, you're living out in the treehouse in the back 40. Okay, I'm in the treehouse, but the palace is my home. And this life is the education of hard knocks a lot of times. That's what this is. But he said, I'm with you. I'm your teacher. And when it's done, you're coming with me to the palace. And we don't have to be afraid, because he overcame death for us already. I just step into across the border into the palace. And the martyrs are the most loved in heaven. And I know it says somewhere in the word, I should have looked it up, somewhere, to be grateful for the things you suffer for Christ? Rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice for suffering? But if you're suffering for Christ, yes, because great will be your reward in heaven. We don't have to be afraid. Okay, the fourth one is what I wasn't expecting. Teach your children. Can you imagine Jesus standing here, and those are the words out of his mouth? Teach your children. Teach your children. And Matthew 19, 13 through 15 says, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. What an honor. Can you imagine Jesus laying his hand on you and praying for you? The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Dear Lord, we're your children. Lay your hands on us right now. Lay your hands on us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for whatever you prayed for those little children, for the anointing, for all the gifts of the Spirit, Lord. Lay your hands on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child up in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a promise we can stand on. But the caveat here is train the child. Turn off the TV and have a devotional every day. Turn off the TV and play a Christian game. Turn off the TV and let's talk about what happened with you in school today. How did you and the Lord handle it every day? I did not do that with my children. We talked about the Lord, you know. I had him in church 42 times a week. But that one-on-one, because love is imparted in there. The love of Christ and the love of you for the child. And it's like building a palace. Let's go back to that. It's building that home and that place in their hearts where they know they will always trust in the Lord. Train your children. The fifth one, the days are coming and now is. I'm going, the days are coming and now is. What is that? The scripture is John 4, 23, 24. I had to look it up. But the hour is coming. And this one says that Jesus said the days are coming and now is. That's what I wrote down. It says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And it is very heavy because it's not just raising your hand or not being afraid to raise your hand to the Lord and worship him. It's not just that. When you worship the Lord in the spirit, in spirit and in truth, that is you sacrifice your life. He sacrificed his life, and we sacrifice ours to him. In the spirit, I'm going to walk in the spirit. I don't live in this world. My fleshly body is here, but my home is in heaven. I'm going to walk, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to be as close to him as I can get. I'm going to pray. And if you're not praying every day, and I don't mean, now I lay me down to sleep. It's a communication. It's a communication. I should change that because we can pray. You can pray the Lord's Prayer, which is wonderful. I do it too. But it's the communication between you and the Lord. And if you are speaking and talking with the Lord and you don't feel that communication, then you start praying for you to love him more. So now you're going through five things of praying. You're going to listen and communicate. Are you communicating with him? If you're not, then seek him because you should be. Pray in the spirit, and that's just to him, between you and just him. And because you tell him anything, and you know that, but it's hard to do sometimes when you say, Lord, I really don't like Mr. Fosnight, and I don't want to forgive him, and I'm sort of mad at you for making me do it. You know, it's being real. It's being real with him because he's going to be real with you. Okay. Oh, and John 4:23 says, but the hour cometh and now is. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6:2. How many times have you felt that pull of the Lord to take that one more step? And it never stops. You take the first step of salvation, but it never stops because the Lord calls you, and when he wants you to do something, you know, you take another step until you end up at the palace. But you got to hear him. You got to listen to what he's telling you to do. You got to communicate. You got to pray. Number six, the word is alive. Jesus says, now here he is, the word is alive. I've got my 10-pound Bible. Ooh, gee, I dropped my 10-pound. Oh. Amen. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the Word. You heard it, you know, say God is all and in all. But you got to read it. God is all. And God is in all. That's our life. That's a Christian's life. In everything. In everything. When you pray over your food. When you, no matter what you do, it's for him and in him. And he's in us and we're in him. God is all and in all of us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is alive. I think I broke my 10-pound Bible. How many times have you been in desperate need? I have. And so, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you right now. And you open up your Bible, especially when you first get saved. Man, this happens a lot when the first few years you're a Christian. The longer you're a Christian, it happens less and less, and you're going more and more by faith, taking steps toward the palace. But you open it up, and there's the word from the Lord. Over and over again. And the Lord has a plan in it, and I've seen it so many times. But the word is alive. When, like Rachel McClear will tell you, speak it. Speak the word, because it's alive. It will do what it is sent to do. Let's see. For the word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to get convicted? You want to get closer to the Lord? Open the Bible. Read the living word out loud. You want to make the devil mad? Start reading it out loud. You want to make him madder? Pray out loud. Let the angels hear your words. Just tell them, here we go. Say it out loud, and it'll change you. It changes you when you're saying it out loud, because those words are alive. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" You got to let the word set you on fire. His word will set you on fire. When he speaks to you, it will set you on fire. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight, and I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." That's our end goal right there. Oh, Lord, let that be me. Let that be me, for I bear your name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, the very last one was just a word. It was a love. Jesus standing here saying, love. It's not the noun of a thing of love. It's the verb, what you're supposed to do. Love. Help me to love more, Lord. Help me to love you more. Help me to love. Help me to show it. Help me to demonstrate it. Help me to be your love, Lord, in this world, in this church, in this body, or the people on the side of the road, or that lady in the grocery store. Help me to be and show your love. This is from the Message. This is the last of it. This is, what did I say? 1 John 4:7-12. My beloved friends, that's y'all. Let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. Do you not know him very well? How well are you loving? This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. It's not just him living through us. It's us living through him. Can you see Christ in me? Can you see Christ in yourself? Can you stand in front of the mirror, Lord? Let me see you, Lord. Sit beside me in the car, Lord. Be with me every step, Lord. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Sacrificial love. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. That's what sin does. We're not free to sin. We're free to not sin. Need to write that on a card and put it big in the house. We're not free to sin. We're free to not sin. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's what Jesus is saying. In this body, to love each other. My brothers and my sisters, no one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. And what does perfect love do? Casts out fear. So we're going to pray to love Jesus more every day. We're going to pray to love your spouse more. I need that sometimes. Pray to love your children more. Love them enough to do what needs to be done. Love them enough to give up 35 minutes of TV. Love your neighbor more. Pray to love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Everybody outside the door. Pray to love your church family more. I love y'all.